Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15 this morning. I want to talk about a papa and his two boys. This fella had two boys. And from the first look, it's pretty easy to spot the bad boy from the good boy. But by the end of the story, you're going to find out that things weren't quite as they appear to be. In Luke 15, we're going to start in verse 11. And I remember hearing a preacher told a story about a fellow one time. He was talking to his associate. He worked in the city, and his associate asked him how life been going. He said, "Well, about 20 years ago, I bought a little farm and said I raised my boys out on that farm." And the fellow said, "Well, how did that all work out?" He said, "Well, we went broke." And he said, "Man, I bet you regretted that, didn't you?" And he said, "No, I didn't." Said, "None of my boys ended up on drugs. None of my boys were alcoholics. They learned how to work and they learned how to take responsibility. And it was the best investment that I ever made." And that's kind of how it is. Luke 15:11, I want to talk about a fella here and his two sons. In Luke 15:11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." My. In verse 14, it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land." You know, it can go from feast to famine pretty quickly. "And he began to be in want." If when you start living riotous living, when you leave what you were taught and what you learned, and you go to the dregs and you go to the pits and you start riotous living, you're going to be down and out pretty quick. You're going to get down pretty quick. I remember reading a story, hearing it on an interview one time. Waylon Jennings once said that he was spending $1,500 a day for drugs. What's that about? That's craziness. That's craziness. And we'll look at this boy here. It says in verse 15, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine." And that's how it goes when everything goes south. He is feeding the hogs, and feeding the hogs was not something that he had aspired to. "And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Hey, now when you get partied out, and you get drugged out, and you get moneyed out, friends will drop you like a bad habit. You can tell from our RU program, you find out when the drugs run out, the money runs out, and you end up in a jail cell. I wonder how many, ask those folks, how many times that their drug buddies visited them in jail. They drop you like a bad habit. But it says here, when he came to himself, that's where it is, folks. You got to come to yourself. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father." And that's it. Anybody ever been there? Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My. "I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." Man, I bet he was saying, "Boy, what am I in for now? I wonder if he'll even recognize me. I wonder if he'll let me on the property." And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh into the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that I should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you love us, Lord, and thankful for that love, that reaches out and that never leaves us nor forsakes us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you've taken me back into the fold many times, Lord, and you fed me and clothed me and put me back in your graces, Lord. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. But we honor our Heavenly Father today, Lord, and all that you are. Help us today as we honor fathers to look at the Father's role in the Father's life and what a father goes through many times, Lord. Help us to rejoice in our Savior today and magnify His name and reach out to the lost today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk this morning for a while about these two boys and their daddy who loved them both. I love both sons. In our text here, it says the first son mentioned is the younger son. And I can identify with this boy a little bit. I was the youngest of four sons. And I also grew up on a farm like this boy did. The Lord speaking here, it says in the Bible says in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, Lord speaking here. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, many will agree with me that a lot of American teenagers today love that phrase, give me. Give me. An old preacher told a story once that when this country was founded, Patrick Henry saw a young Baptist preacher on the street one day get beaten. He was beaten soundly for preaching the gospel without a license. Patrick Henry then went to the house of Burgesses and made the famous statement, give me liberty or give me death. And now, 150 years later, people were saying, give me liberty. But today it seems like a lot of folks are just saying, just give me. Give me. Now, evidently, this younger son, man, he's out on that farm and he's working, and I know what that's about. And he heard some stories about what went on in some of these big cities. Man, he had heard some stories, and man, his life, he was bored. He was bored out there on the farm, but man, he had heard what went on all the parties in these big cities and the dancing and the drinking and the carrying on. And that boy must have thought, man, why can't I get in on some of that? I'm young. I need to get in on some of that. All I do is work. He must have really been disillusioned at that point. And the more he thought of that party life, the less he liked the farm. His thoughts were out of kilter. And when I was a boy, if you grew up in the country, you had chores to do. Every day you had chores to do. I had to milk a cow for a long time before I went to school in the morning. Sometimes in the evening. I had to slop the hogs, had to gather eggs. I had to hoe weeds out of the garden. That is my least favorite pastime, was hoeing weeds out of the garden. I still hate to do that. But looking back on those days, I realized that by today's standards, I was probably an abused child. I'm certain that I was. And I probably needed therapy. But come to think of it, my dad did give me some therapy from time to time. And my mama too. My mama was good at giving us kids therapy. And when it was the kind that you didn't schedule another appointment for. I didn't want to come back in 30 days for another session with my daddy or my mama after I'd messed up. But okay, look at this boy. He was sick of the farm, mentally, emotionally, physically, or at least he thought that he was. He had it in his head. He was through with this farming. Our text says in verse 12, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Now notice here that the father divided unto them. He didn't just divide to the one boy. He divided to both of them. So both brothers. Then it says in verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Don't take long. Don't take long. Man, I guarantee you, when that boy showed up in town with a pocket full of money, he had money, the party was on. You got plenty of money, you won't have trouble finding a party. You got money or drugs or alcohol, you'll find a party somewhere if that's what you're looking for. I remember years ago, I remember a song, Lefty Frizzell had a song. "If you got the money, honey, I've got the time." Anybody remember? Yeah. That's how it works. If you got the money, they're going to make time for you. As long as the money holds out, that is. So then the next verse tells us how it all played out once that the money was gone. Verse 14, "And when he had spent all," don't say how long that took, I bet it wasn't long, "there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Man, this isn't working out quite like I planned. All my money's gone. Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. What are you grinning about over there? Call it a night. The party's over. Hey, and that crowd, when the craziness and the money runs out, and the drugs run out, and alcohol runs out, and the foolishness that you had in your heart goes south, turn out the lights. The party's over. That's what happened to this boy. My, my, my. Anybody ever been there? Kid's out of money. The barmaid cut him off, and the ladies don't find him quite as cute as he did when he had all that money to spend. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. What happened to all his friends? Where'd they go to? All his buddies. "I went to my brother to ask for a loan because I'm busted. I hate to beg like a dog for a bone, but I'm busted. My brother said there's not a thing I can do. My wife and my kids are all down with the flu. And I was just thinking of calling on you because I'm busted." Anybody ever been busted? Joyce and I were living in Murfreesboro, Tennessee after we got married. Man, I didn't have a dime. Got a job at a gas station. I couldn't wait on paycheck. We didn't have anything to eat. One of the guys that worked at the gas station killed a rabbit that day. Him and his daddy went rabbit. Gave me that rabbit. Trying to fix that. Well, it's a long story. Let's see what happens here. "When he came to himself. Man, there's nothing more like being flat broke, out of money, out of booze, out of drugs, out of friends. There's nothing like that that will help a man more to come to himself. When it's all gone, when it's all history, homeless, helpless. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." All right, I want to look at another part of the story here. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, his older brother, man, he's just working away. He's feeding the stock, he's milking the cows, tending to the sheep. Man, what a good boy he is. Don't that seem apparent? You got a bad boy, and then you got this good son who just working for dad. Or it seems like he's working for dad. So while Junior is back home working, his kid brother makes a life-changing decision. His kid brother, who was down and out, and had strayed from his father, strayed from his father's will, strayed from his father's house, strayed from his father's teaching. He made a decision. He said, "I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven.'" Did you notice that? "And before thee. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I'll be, if you can just make me as one of them." That's called repentance. He came to himself and repented of the wrong he had done. The substance, he had wasted so much. The Bible said repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That boy not only had a change of mind, but he, for the first time, looks like had a change of heart. It's all about the heart. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Man, what is that boy thinking? And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, what a wonderful, touching story here. The prodigal son. The first message I ever heard Phil Gabbard preach was on the prodigal son. But when he repented, his father welcomed him home. Restored him, even threw him a party to show him his love. But that's not the end of the story. Let's look at son number two. Now, Junior had been out in the field like the good boy he was, and when he heads toward the house, man, he hears guitars and fiddles and banjo. They're singing Rocky Top. He's hearing Rocky Top and Proud Mary. And he's wondering, man, what in the world's going on? What's that all about? Big party going down at the house. It sounds like everybody's dancing and having a time. And what's going on? It says, now his elder son, verse 25, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Daddy is just so thankful that boy wasn't dead. Now let's take a look and see what happens with the heart of this older son, the good boy. The good boy. It says in verse 28, "And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, many years did I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But just as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, Son, said, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that I should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Obviously, Junior here had not been looking for his younger brother to come home. Obviously, Junior had not been praying for his younger brother. Obviously, Junior was indifferent to what happened to his younger brother. My. So his father went out and begged him to come in. He wouldn't do it. He refused. He got hard-hearted. Therefore, he refuses to obey his father. Then he tells a couple fibs along with it. He said, all these years I have worked for you. Well, that's not exactly right, because he got his inheritance the same time the other boy did. Remember, he divided unto them. So that's not exactly true. He said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said, here that his brother had wasted his father's living, and that wasn't entirely true either. It was his own inheritance that boy devoured. And wasted. Did you notice that when he talked about his brother, he didn't call him by name or didn't call him my brother. He said, this thy son. That hard-hearted, works-oriented rascal. This thy son. He didn't say my brother. He said thy son. Now, I guess doctrinally talking about the Jews here, but it works for all of us too. Here's what we need to know. You can do all the good works that you want to do. You can go to church. You can sing in the choir. You can teach Sunday school. And you can give to missions, read your Bible every day. It appears this oldest son had done everything that his father had asked him to do up to a point. But when it came to the lost, his heart was revealed as being cold and indifferent to anyone but himself. But everything he had done was not for his father at all. It was for himself. He was for himself. Which of these two sons would you identify with today? This one boy let life kick him in the teeth. Sin disobeyed his father's will, but he came back. He got up and came to himself, repented, and came back home. And cried out to his father for forgiveness. And the father restored him. The other one, man, he'd been in church all his life. He'd done good. Done everything, everything he thought that he should have done. But he had a heart problem. His heart problem. My. Which son honored his father? I think we know the one who honored his father is the one who got right and came back home to the father. I preached a lot of funerals, and I've preached funerals where families were fighting. There'd be two or three little huddles going on in the funeral home or at the church here. One wouldn't speak to the other and then wouldn't speak to that one. Some of those folks were religious. If you've got something going on with your daddy, with your mama, with your brother, with your sister, you need to get it right. Which one of these boys honored their father? Today is Father's Day. I had a good daddy. He worked like a dog. He worked hard for me. I'll never say that I really understood my daddy, because I read somewhere where you really, most people don't really know their daddy that intimately. I didn't know my. I knew him. I knew who he was. I knew he worked hard, and he provided for me. He loved me. He did everything dad should do. But to know his secret life, what he was about, I never did know that. But my mom always taught me to honor my father. Honor thy father and thy mother. My. Happy Father's Day. I'm done. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, maybe you've strayed away from him. Maybe it's time to come home. Maybe it's time to put the hardness of heart behind you and come home to a loving father. Man, that boy thought that everything was over for him when he went home. His father saw him afar off. His father had been looking for him all along. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. My boys, come home. Glory to God. Would you stand up this morning? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says we're all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all that sinned and come short of glory of God. They've all gone out of the way. They've all become as an unclean thing. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're sinners because of our sin. There's a penalty that God required for us to be restored. The wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That free gift of eternal life. The altar's open this morning. Won't you come?